Check for pulse.
Stand clear.
We are
push
keeping democracy alive.
So yes, there's a huge gap between public opinion and public policy. That people don't feel that they can do very much.
You know what this is? This is a very Hamiltonian system. Alexander Hamilton being the guy here in a very un-Jeffersonian.
In the case of the Republicans, it's dramatically the opposite. But even in the case of the Democrats.
An absolute typhoon of terror against African Americans in the South.
America's fascists are those people who think that Wall Street comes first and the American people come second.
Really seen as a financial sector that's gotten out of hand.
Yeah. The shooting, the violence, that is not the drug problem. That is, in fact, the drug policy problem.
I speak tonight for the dignity of man.
And you talk about dignity of man. People want to know what happened to their relatives. You can't just have it hidden away and forgotten about when the government takes people and disappears them. You want to find out what happened to it. And we want to find out why there would be silence about it. Well, the Spanish Civil War ended some 75 years ago. Some in power in today's government in Spain want to leave the bones and the memory of the disappeared literally buried and forever unknown. But thousands of family members who lost loved ones and were denied knowledge of their fate refuse to leave the truth hidden. Along with family members, people from many parts of the world stand with the family members and are literally churning up the Spanish earth and with it the truth about the past. These volunteers are digging hidden graves out of respect for those buried there and, at least as important, out of a deep commitment to truth and to keeping democracy alive in Spain and throughout the Western world. As was said at a recent ceremony in New York City honoring the work of the Spanish Association for the Recovery of Historical Memory, the recovery of historical memory is about truth and it's about justice, but not just about truth and justice in relation to the past. Far from it. The recovery of historical memory is part of a struggle for truth and justice in the present and in the future. This association is a group of volunteers finding secret, unmarked grave sites spread out throughout Spain, and they're literally digging up old bones all over the Iberian Peninsula. With us on the first part of this show is Jim Fernandez, Associate Professor of Spanish Literature and Culture at New York University and co-author of the forthcoming book of photographs, Invisible Immigrants, Spaniards in the United States, 1868 to 1945. Jim, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Bert. Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, as you've written in your article, Untreated Memories, Franco's Disappeared, some 114,000 Spaniards lay in unmarked graves strewn randomly all across Spain. Who were these people? Were they combatants in the war or civilians killed after the war by the dictator Francisco Franco?
That's a really important distinction. The figure of 114,000 refers to civilians who were basically victims of a kind of political ethnic cleansing. They weren't combatants. The combatants form part of another figure. But so most of these graves are in parts of Spain where, in fact, there was no front. Vast regions of Spain, right after the uprising of the generals, conceded, and the regions fell, like Galicia and León and parts of Castilla, there was no real fighting in those regions because the local authorities respected the leaders of the coup. And so we're talking about civilian victims who were not combatants.
So who were these people? I mean, you tell a story.
They were school teachers, union members. So typically, a town would the authorities of a town would declare their allegiance to the rebellious generals, and the next thing you know, phalangist fascist thugs would come into the town and start asking questions: who's a troublemaker? Who was a member of a union? Who supported non-religious education? Who were the members of Republican political parties? And they would round them up, and usually to cover their traces. They drive them a certain distance away from their hometown, execute them, and throw them in ditches.
Wow.
So that's what we're talking about, just regular civilians who, who owning a business and supporting a trade union would have been enough to mark you as someone that needed to be exterminated.
And in your article in The Volunteer magazine, the magazine of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade, archives the guys and women from America who fought for democracy against the fascists. In that article, you tell a story of one of the victims, Emilio Silva, who was disappeared in October 1936. Who was he, and why was he killed?
Yeah, well, his grandson was the founder of the organization that ALBA recognized with its ALBA Puffin Award for human rights activism. He was a young man from the interior, from the region between León and Galicia in northwest Spain, who actually had emigrated to the United States in the 1920s and was living in New York. And the story goes that he liked very much New York, and there was a pretty vibrant Spanish community in New York in the 1920s, and he thought he would open up a grocery store catering to the Spanish immigrants, a place where they could get their Spanish chorizo and saffron and the things, olive oil, things that Spaniards need. So he bought a round-trip ticket, New York, Vigo, New York, to go home and settle his affairs and come back and open up this store. But while he was in his hometown, he, as fate would have it, he fell in love with a young woman and decided to scrap the plans of coming to New York. And instead, he opened his store in a town close to his hometown in El Bierzo. It was a general store that did very well. He was a prosperous businessman through the 20s and into the 30s. He and Modesta, his wife, had, six children in the span of 10 years. And he was a very moderate, centrist believer in democracy. He belonged to the party known as the Republican Left, La Izquierda Republicana, which is one of the more moderate parties of the Republican coalition. His main cause was free public education.
Mm.
Something that he would have witnessed in New York, maybe, and he might have admired the way public education was working in the United States at the time. But his main cause, again, was that. But like I was saying before, that was enough. When the fascists take control of his hometown, here's a prosperous businessman who holds progressive beliefs and has a store full of supplies that they're envious of. In July, as soon as the fascist uprising took place, he was the victim of extortions. You know, they would just go in and take supplies from him. And at the beginning, they left IOUs, and after a while, they stopped even doing that. They just used his store as a supply house for them, and they extorted money from him. And then finally, in October, just a couple months into the uprising, they rounded him up together with 12 other men from his town. He spent one night in the town hall, which was a makeshift prison. And the next day they took him, 30 kilometers away to another small town and executed him and threw him in a ditch along with 13 people on the truck that were being taken to their execution. One had managed to escape and survive for a couple of weeks. And that's an important part of the story because the knowledge... it took Emilio a long time to find out where his grandfather was buried.
Yeah.
But the knowledge came in part from the stories that had been told by the escapee.
Wow, absolutely amazing. We're talking on Keeping Democracy Alive about why should the past be dug up? You know, why not just leave it there? And our guest for this part of the show is Jim Fernandez, who's a professor of Spanish literature and culture at New York University. You know, the war is long over. It ended in 1939. Franco has been dead since 1975. Why have these graves remained a secret? Why is there a code of silence? What reasons has the government given for neglecting all these thousands of relatives who just want to find their ancestors?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think an important part of the answer is the way that Spain's transition to democracy was brokered. Basically, the political elites that brokered this remarkable and relatively peaceful transition from dictatorship to democracy, did decide, and this was a decision made across the political spectrum among political leaders, again, without consulting with citizens, that the best way to move forward would be to not revisit the crimes of the war or of the dictatorship, and to just try to, you know, as they say, turn the page, but without actually reading it. And so in some ways, these victims of Francoist violence were victimized for a second time. They weren't going to be talked about. Spain was going to build a democracy, but without recognizing the fate of these earlier Democrats who had supported the democracy of the Second Republic. The political elites were making a bet. This is the way I think about it. They thought that if they could just not talk about this for long enough, that the last surviving victims would disappear and we could live in peace and harmony. And the truth is, we're very close to that window of time where the last surviving victims of Francoist violence are with us. If you think about it, if you were an adult in 1936,
right,
you'd be 97 today.
Yeah.
So surviving adult witnesses of the Spanish Civil War and of its aftermath, it's a number that's approaching zero.
Yeah.
In fact, we have a nice measure of that. The Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives has identified only one surviving volunteer of the 2,800 that went to Spain. So this is so the transition made a bet that we could, if we could just not talk about this for long enough, the people who had living memory of it would disappear, and we could go on and live in peace and harmony. But they calculated it was a bad calculation, because what has happened is that the children of the victims of Francoist violence, who lived through 40 years of a terrorist dictatorship, they were frightened enough to not talk about this and to accept the pact of silence. But what the framers of the democracy didn't count on were the grandchildren, who many of whom were born into a democratic Spain, and who asked questions that their parents never dared ask. Where is Grandpa? Why don't we talk about him? What were his politics?
Right.
Where was he in 1936? And it's been the effort mostly of the grandchildren, educated, again, within democratic Spain, that has brought about this social movement to recover, to identify and recover the remains of these Francoist victims.
And they did just get an award to continue it from the our Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives and the Puffin Award, which was quite inspiring. We're going to talk in the second half hour to one of the living relatives whose brother was killed. And I have a good friend on Facebook, and I got to read you what she wrote. I never knew any of my relatives who were murdered, just slaughtered by Franco soldiers. I have no idea what happened to them. My grandmother only was told they were shot. There was a black hole of information about Franco times. It was a big secret in my family. Finally, when I turned 8 or so, my father told me one day why I didn't have any relatives on my grandmother's side of the family. Can you imagine? Because they were all slaughtered. I cannot tell you how horrifying that was to me. All the secrets about who they were, how my grandmother hid her heritage, had to live her life. My father went to find more evidence of them after Franco was gone, and it was hard. And this is what's going on now. The task of finding graves, as you write, is not an easy one. Once they do find the graves, they exhume them, and the remains, what happens then?
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to point out that the association only carry out exhumations on behalf of families. They don't initiate any exhumations on their own.
Uh-huh.
They field requests for help from family members, and you know, they sift through those and do a lot of archival research, a lot of oral history research to see which of these requests they might be feasible. So typically the request comes in, and there's a long process of historical work, again, in archives and in through oral histories. And if they're able to locate the grave, they use state-of-the-art scientific forensic techniques. And this is really important to them, that they're doing this very carefully. In fact, they're making a political statement by carrying out scientific exhumations, which, you know, state-of-the-art scientific exhumations, as if this were the scene of a crime. And in fact,
it is a scene of a crime.
Except these are crimes that the Spanish state won't recognize. But they carry state-of-the-art forensic exhumations to recover the remains. And then, if the family requests it, they carry out DNA tests to ascertain the identity of the people in the mass grave. And they've done this many times. Sometimes they don't even need to do the DNA testing because there's evidence, some very moving stories of a woman who will say, you know, my husband, before he was taken away, gave me half a sheet of paper or gave me broke the stone off of his ring and wore only the band. And then in the exhumation, they'll find, sure enough, that a person who has a ring on the finger with no stone, things like that.
My goodness. And what about the argument? And it's not just in Spain, but it's, I believe, in places like Argentina and Chile and lots of places where there have been in the past kind of terrorist, fascist, violent governments that have committed a lot of atrocities. I mean, El Salvador, it goes on and on and on. And the argument continues to be, well, let's not dig it up. Let's just move beyond the past. Let's leave them buried. Let's, as you say, turn the page. Now, in terms of, you know, keeping democracy alive across at least the Western world, what's really wrong with that argument? Why does that have to be taken on? Why is it important for now and for the future?
Yeah. Well, I the first response is, I think, at the level of individuals that request these exhumations. I've attended a couple of exhumations and a couple of ceremonies where the remains are returned to the families so the families can give them proper burials. And, you know, if you witness these things, you realize that it's really just an exercise in human decency and dignity. I mean, beyond politics and ideology, which those are also components of this, but really, you know, the urge to give proper burial to loved ones is ingrained in humanoid cultures, not a peculiar thing of Spain. And so there are many individuals who have lived the last 80 years of their lives feeling like they can't really die in peace because their husband or father or grandfather was not ever given a proper burial. So, I mean, for me, that's enough reason right there, just the argument for human decency and dignity.
Right.
And again, the fact that these are family-initiated exhumations points to this fact. This is not; these are not random exhumations of mass graves. These are targeted interventions that respond to the requests of individuals and family members. But beyond that,
yes,
politically, and I think it's important. You know, we have a country who does not want to recognize that between 1931 and 1936, there was a genuine attempt at setting up a democracy in Spain. It was a flawed attempt. It was by no means perfect. The coalitions that governed Spain during the Republic were housed, you know, people with many different political persuasions.
Yeah.
They weren't all Democrats on the left. All of that is true. But it was a genuine, democracy was in trouble in 1931 in the whole world, right?
That's for sure.
The Great Depression. People in the United States weren't at all sure that liberal democracy was going to survive much longer.
For sure.
But Spain tried valiantly to set up a democratic regime in this very hostile climate. And the evidence is there. They instituted universal suffrage. Women voted. Public schools, you know, education was taken out of the hands of the Catholic Church, and the state tried to set up public schools.
Yeah, really.
They made many important steps towards establishing a democratic Spain. The democracy that emerges after Franco's death in 1975 refuses to recognize the Republic as a precursor. It's really interesting. Emilio Silva pointed out at the meeting, the prize award ceremony, that in Spain people talk about the transition to democracy, but not the recuperation of democracy. And to him, that's it's a slap in the face to all family members who lost people who were true Democrats in the early 1930s, and yet they're written off as kind of collateral damage of this historical process.
And it seems to me important to for you know, fascist, violent governments, that they have to know they can't get away with it. And it seems to me this is part of it. No, they can't literally get away with the murder. That statement just has to be made. It really does.
Exactly.
And I got to ask, I know you don't have a lot of time, in recognition of its outstanding work, the Association for the Recovery of Historical Memory was named the winner of the 2015 Alba Puffin Award for Human Rights Activism. And human rights continues to be violated across the world. Tell us a little bit about what ALBA is, what ALBA believes, why ALBA believes it's so important to engage with this history, not just for its own sake, but as the association's executive director, Sebastian Faber, said in awarding the prize, to intervene in the present. How is it doing that? How is ALBA doing that? And how is this award intervening in the present?
That's a great question. Yeah, so the Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives is an organization that aims to promote the use of the archives that the veterans themselves established starting in 1979, but also to promote the anti-fascist legacy that the veterans embodied. And as I mentioned before, soon there won't be a single remaining surviving veteran of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade. And this, for the organization, creates, you know, a challenge and an opportunity. The event 30 years ago would have been attended by 100 or 150 veterans of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade. It was an annual reunion that they had been carrying on since the 1930s. But now it's a reunion without veterans.
Yes.
Soon there won't be any left. And the organization could either just fold up and say we have nothing left to do, or they can transform them and find ways to perpetuate the anti-fascist legacy of the vets. And what we've decided to do is to recognize that the struggle that they undertook in Spain was a struggle in defense of human rights. And the prize that the organization has established with the help of the Puffin Foundation is, as you said, a way of trying to make current, reward current interventions that are carried out in the spirit of the Brigadistas, international solidarity, defense of basic human rights.
Well, very important. And it's a story that still is not very well known, but ALBA, the Abraham Lincoln Brigade's archives, is doing some major work in schools, terrific programs for teachers. I have talked about it to high school kids, and it's almost like, why didn't we know about this stuff? These guys are heroes. And it was men and women, black and white, fighting together in the 1930s as part of the International Brigade to protect democracy and a Republican, small r, form of government. There's a website that's really fabulous. Why don't you tell us about that a little bit? Is it alba/valb? Is that it?
I think it's alba-valb.org.
Okay. Yeah.
And yeah, all kinds of great information can be found there. What I point out to my students is the first ship carrying volunteers of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade to Europe left New York Harbor in, I think it was December 26, 1936. The war had started just a few months before. And these were men, and eventually women too, who in their letters back home talk openly about how they're going to engage in this fight because they're afraid of a looming World War II. And, you know, some people think it's an anachronism to have people talking about World War II before it happens, but these guys actually do.
Oh, yeah.
They say they're if Hitler and Mussolini and Franco are not stopped in Spain, we're headed for a second World War. In December of 1936, a full 5 years before Pearl Harbor, and this is what I try to impress on my students, the U.S., we like to think of ourselves as this country with a strong anti-fascist tradition, and, you know, the performance of the country in World War II certainly would support that notion.
Right.
But it took an awful long time for the country to get its act together and to take a real principled stand against fascism. And here were these individuals, a full 5 years before Pearl Harbor, who were putting their lives on the line to try to stem the tide of fascism in Europe and in the world.
Heroes, in my opinion. Well, Thank you so much, Jim Fernandez. Again, the website is ALBA/VALB, Abraham Lincoln Brigade Archives /Veterans of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade, albavalb.org. Thanks so much. We're going to be back in just a few minutes talking with a relative of someone who was lost in the Spanish Civil War. We'll find out all about it. Stay with us on Keeping Democracy Alive. And thanks again, Jim Fernandez.
Thank you, Bert.
Viva la 15 Brigada, viva la 15 Brigada, que se ha cubierto de gloria, ay Manuela, ay Manuela. Que se ha cubierto de gloria, ay Manuela, ay Manuela. Luchamos contra los moros, luchamos contra los moros. Mercenarios y fascistas, ay Manuela, ay Manuela. Mercenarios y fascistas, ay Manuela, ay Manuela. Nuestro deseo, solo es nuestro deseo, acabar con el fascismo, ay Manuela, ay Manuela, acabar con el fascismo, ay Manuela, ay Manuela.
That's a song to the International Volunteers. Viva the 15th Brigade, I believe it is. My Spanish is worse than horrible, but that is dedicated to all the international volunteers who came to fight and defend Spain, who saw what was coming because the fascist government of Spain was supported very much by Hitler and Mussolini. It was a testing ground for their weapon systems and for fascism to see if anybody in the world would stand up to them and fight against fascism. And England chose not to, France chose not to, and the U.S. chose not to. And the bad guys won in Spain. While continuing this discussion on Keeping Democracy Alive, our guest on this part of the show is Herb Freeman. Herb, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so very much for having me.
Well, I believe your brother was one of the victims of Franco. Was he one of the 2,800 American volunteers in the Abraham Lincoln Brigade?
Yes, he was.
And they gave up everything to fight for the Spanish Republic and came under attack. And they fought together with thousands of volunteers from all across the world to defend democracy and fascism. And you were at the ceremony recently in New York. How old were you when your brother, and what is your brother's name? How old were you when he went to Spain, and what did you know about the reasons for him going?
My brother was Jack Freeman,
mm-hmm.
and he was just barely over 18, not old enough to vote when he went to Spain.
Right.
And he was an activist in the lower classes at City College in New York, and an anti-war activist. And he felt that this was a way to prevent the major war that was impending.
Oh, interesting. So he was an anti-war activist and went to war because he could see that there was a much bigger war quite possible, and this was a way of preventing it and defending the Republic and democracy. Is that right?
Yes, it was.
How did what did your brother? You were how old were you at the time? You said you were eight.
I was 13.
13. Did your brother talk to you before he went to Spain? That must have been. What did it feel like when he was going to Spain? Did you understand why he was going?
Well, I understood it on an emotional level,
mm-hmm.
and why he went to Spain, and there was a great amount of hero worship.
I'll bet.
But my brother was a serious intellectual student, and he knew exactly what he was feeling. And he underwent a great deal of difficulty to get to Spain to express his opportunity to fight for the good. I think this was often referred to in literature as the good fight.
Absolutely, and it's a great movie, which I have a DVD of that, and if people are interested in following up on it, it's just it's a great movie from 1983 called The Good Fight. It's quite dramatic. And how did your parents feel at the time? He was just barely 18. What did they think about it?
My parents were very split. My mother, who was an immigrant from Poland, was not in favor of any war. My father, who actually was not of exactly the same political commitment as my brother, nevertheless agreed with him on this issue and signed for permission to allow him to get a passport to France.
And did you...
Where, unfortunately, he embarked after a month or two, to Spain on a ship called the City of Barcelona. Are you aware of that one?
Tell us. I'm not sure.
Well, it was a chartered ship out of France going to Catalonia, and it was torpedoed by an Italian submarine.
Oh, right.
The submarines were supposed to ensure a neutral embargo. However, they torpedoed the ship, and it went down, and my brother managed to be one of the lucky ones to escape and make shore, which was only a mile away.
I heard there were a few Lincoln Brigade veterans who had to swim ashore. You talk about dedication. It was illegal for Americans to go. Everybody's passports were stamped, what was it, not for use in Spain, not for travel in Spain, because we were officially neutral. And these people broke the law in order to have the opportunity to risk their lives and often lose their lives fighting for the ideals and reality of democracy and a republican form of government. Pretty amazing. How did you find out that he had passed away? How did he die, your brother Jack?
Oh, well, there's some dispute on whether it was a bullet or a piece of shrapnel, but it was a quiet time on the front. And he was standing with one of the officers, George Watt, when he was killed. And it was just 3 weeks prior to the repatriation of all the American and international brigade volunteers that was created by the League of Nations for saving some people. He was buried where he died. We tried to find out, and especially interested in trying to find out where he was in relation to the earlier part of your program on the reclamation
right.
of the victims of the Spanish Civil War, although it was much more serious among the non-combatant civilians.
Right.
At least my brother was a fighter. We would like to know where he was buried.
So all these years, you haven't known where he was buried. What when you learned about the Association for the Recovery of Historical Memory, how did you feel?
Well, I have been aware, following all the events in Spain for all these years, that there was massive killings, as much as prior to the end of hostilities, and many as 750,000 people both civilians and soldiers and prisoners. But the ones that were just taken out randomly, just to make a point that resistance was futile and murdered for that reason, was horrendous to us, me and my family. But we did make one trip to Spain based on very vague information as to where he might have been buried. And my children specifically are very, very much concerned in perpetuating his memory and those of the other veterans of Lincoln Brigade.
I wonder what percentage of those who died in Spain, how many, you know, of their remains have been identified, and how, for how many, it's still a painful mystery. Do you have any numbers on that?
No, I don't have any of that. Although it was interesting at the event that you were at this last weekend.
Yes.
For the first time, the photographic display for memoriam was of all the veterans who were killed in Spain rather than the ones who returned.
Right, that was different.
It wasn't all of them. It was perhaps one-third of those who were killed in the International Brigade, or even less. But it certainly stimulates the desire to follow this through.
Just to see that.
It gets kind of hard. It's much more important to recover the bodies of the citizens of Spain who were innocent victims.
Personally, I think the people who fought in the international brigades were heroes. I mean, real heroes. The word hero is tossed around very, very loosely these days. You know, pretty much anybody in a uniform of any sort is called a hero. But those who took it on themselves at great personal risk to do something that they believed was right, fighting for an ideal, that's something very, very different from just putting on a uniform and agreeing to be part of a national military force. These are real heroes, and they deserve to be honored. Absolutely deserve to be honored. Fighting, you know, democracy, as we often say on the show, is anything but a spectator sport. You have to get involved in fighting for democracy. And there aren't many heroes these days who really have shown young people for now and for the future that, yeah, this is important. Democracy is something not to be taken for granted. You know, putting your heart and soul into it, and these guys put their bodies into it. Risked and oftentimes lost their lives. 2,800 Americans went approximately, and about half their bodies are still buried in the Spanish earth. What would change for you and your relatives if they were to find the body of your brother Jack Freeman? That might be tough to talk about.
First of all, there's the same closure as Professor Hernandez said. Which is the culture of any people who want to maintain their family integrity. We would have something specific to hold and to visit and to see.
Yeah.
There's a kind of closure that would exist. Secondly, I was fortunate to have two of my children and a grandson go to the 70th commemoration of the ending of the Spanish Civil War. It was one of the most moving experiences my grandson had ever had, and a recognition of what a fine person his uncle was. And what he underwent for just those issues and
the ideals,
noble requirements that you mentioned in terms of we must constantly defend every one of our democratic rights in every way possible.
Yeah, democracy, it seems to me there's not that much of it left here in America these days. We have much more of a plutocracy, a government of, by, and for, the kind of aristocracy which we fought a war against in 1776. And, you know, with Citizens United and all this, you know, buying of elections, people have to stand up and fight for democracy. It's just got to happen. It's too valuable to lose. And to have these people, the members of the International Brigade, the Abraham Lincoln Brigade from America, as examples, I can't imagine how inspired your grandson was. How old was he at the time of this this particular celebration?
He was 23.
He must have known a little bit about the Lincoln Brigade before.
Oh, yes. We have made sure that he does know. But there are several outstanding events in American history in which what I call the good forces have been victorious. And the story of the Abraham Lincoln Brigade volunteers from the United States was a part of American history as well as it was a part of Spanish and global history.
Absolutely. Well, I'm curious, what were the other couple of specific good fights that people won here in America that you can point to as, you know, real good fights for democracy that won?
That would be difficult. How about emancipation?
Yeah.
How about certain portions of the American Revolution? Let me see.
Yeah, there were lots of them, but it's good to remember, you know, because kids don't know about history. And sometimes, and that's, you know, what we're getting at here with talking about digging up the bones here, is that history matters. It's not just the past. There are those who want to keep it the past and forget about it. And sometimes kids, the way they're taught in school, history is like, oh, who cares? You know, memorizing numbers, names and dates and, you know, great men. That's not what history is really about. You can't know what's going on now. You can't really participate in what's going on now if you don't know what makes up the now. And the history is in the now. It's, as someone said, history is in the past. It's not even the past. It's here now. We're talking on Keeping Democracy Alive with Herb Freeman, whose brother was one of about 2,800 American volunteers who gave up everything to fight for the Spanish Republic and democracy, and part of an effort now to find his grave. And it's part of, there was an award given recently at to celebrate those volunteers who are digging up the graves and the bones and trying to find and complete the circle and give some closure. Now, as you know, Herb, some in the present government in Spain, some of the leaders and intellectuals would vastly prefer that the work of digging up the remains just stop and go away. What's wrong with their argument that it's, oh, it's an old wound that might be better left as is? What's wrong with that argument?
Well, I would think that it's a very tactical thing that's wrong with the argument. The wounds that they don't want to disclose are things that wounded them and people like them. The people who were hurt have a right, both familial and civil and democratic, to know the reasons that their relatives were killed, the reasons that the killing was so undignified, and the reasons that they were hidden. Yep. That's what's wrong. If you consent to the reclamation of people who were victims, then you must take responsibility for it as well.
I think you touched on something there, not wanting to take responsibility. What would you say if you were to meet somebody, you know, a Spanish leader who said, you know, give it up, forget about it, just stop and make this go away. It's better if we do that. What would you say to him or her?
I would try to hit him. But then I'm a peaceful person, so I would then be much more rational. And besides, at 90 years old, I don't hit people anymore.
But how would you try to convince him that this should not be hidden, that it's important to dig this stuff up?
Well, first of all, I would say these were crimes.
Yeah.
Crimes have to be prosecuted. And as important for finding or associating the guilt of these people, the families in any Western society of the people who were the victims of the crime have to have closure.
Yeah.
They have to resolve what happened that they couldn't control and feel that someone is being blamed for what has been done to them, to heal the wounds. That's how you heal the wounds. You make it right.
Yeah, that's true. The idea of letting people, consciously letting people get away with murder, generally doesn't sit well with most people for a reason, because people, I mean, you have to behave appropriately, and you have to, recognize who is responsible, make sure it doesn't happen again. We have a system of justice to prevent such things happening in the future. We can't, I mean, there's worldwide agreement. You can't let people get away with murder. And there are those in Spain now who are basically saying, yeah, we want to let people get away with murder. But for the current generation or future generations, it's really crucial, in my opinion, and it sounds like yours too, that we can't let them do that. So you were there at the ceremony honoring those people who of the Association for the Recovery of Historical Memory, the people who are doing the digging, doing the identify. You were there at that ceremony. That must have been quite a unique experience. What did it feel like then? You had relatives with you at the time?
Yes, I had the son and the daughter-in-law, who took me to Spain in the late 90s looking for my brother's grave. And it's a smaller group than there were, and even people my age are becoming a minority, and it was very inspiring on many levels that all these young people were there.
A lot
of the people that my family themselves are becoming aware enough of the importance in our history and in Spanish history of what the involvement prior to World War II of this massive, horrendous global war that could have been prevented.
Yes.
If we had been
more vigilant, yeah,
more responsible, and our political governments had been more responsible to a legally elected government in Spain.
It was a legally elected government, and there was an article in The Nation magazine at the time. I'll never forget, the headline was "A Second World War?" Question mark. Talk about prescient. Boy, talk about trying to prevent it.
It is encouraging to see that there are people willing to continue the memory as well as provide education on these programs so that we can continue to learn the lessons that were presented to us.
Yeah, and that kind of answers my next question, which is, in what ways is it important for you and for democracy and for future generations to carry forth the message to those in power that crimes which have been committed by prior governments cannot be allowed to be ignored and just go away? Why is that so important for you specifically? You lost a brother. You lost a family member. Your family cares very much about it. Why is that important that that message go to those in power that they cannot continue to cover up these crimes?
Are we going to do this one in 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Well,
First of all, there was the emotional harm that was done to me by the loss of my brother. I might have turned out to be a much better person if he had come back to me. I might have been a much better Democrat in the United States and a better citizen. We are very quick to assign criminal activities to people who are, for one reason or another, in opposition to our immediate government, but not so quick to accept the same responsibility ourselves. Our government must be responsible to our people. And in effect, my brother went to Spain, not only to protect Spain, not only to prevent the World War, but to be a good American citizen and do that which his government in Washington was not doing.
That's so important. That's so true.
I'm not sure if...
Yeah, that answers.
That's where you wanted me to go.
You did it perfect. This is truth. It's the truth.
I'm not as quick on my feet as I used to be.
Well, being 90, you have somewhat of an excuse, I suppose. If you just tuned in, this is Bert Cohen. We are on Keeping Democracy Alive. Our guest right now is Herb Freeman, talking about the loss of his brother in the Spanish Civil War and find the effort to find the bodies, to uncover the truth. The truth is being hidden. And what do you think it would be like? Tell us about the peace you might feel and your family members might feel if your brother's remains were found and given a proper burial. How would that feel?
Elation. Simply like having a reunion. As a matter of fact, a diversion for a moment.
Sure.
On my 90th birthday, my children came from all over the country and took me on a tour of Brooklyn, New York, to all the places that I went to school, the thousands of apartments I lived in because we had to move or we couldn't pay the rent, where they went to school, and Coney Island.
Uh-huh.
It would have been like having the memory of my brother traveling the world with me, and my grandchildren, and my children, and my in-laws. It would have been that kind of warmth.
Well, I sincerely hope it happens. The association, they must now have some idea of where your brother's remains should likely be, yes? What do you know about the progress?
I don't think that that's the focal point at this point in time. There are still thousands of incarcerations that have not yet been uncovered, and I think the prime focus should be on the Spanish citizens and the events that this will eventually make movements in Spain towards the proper recognition of what has occurred. If by accident we get the odd person who may just be in a field somewhere without a coffin, that would be wonderful as well. But the main thing is for the people of Spain at this point.
Yeah.
And recognition of the enormity of the crimes that were considered.
Well, Herb Freeman, this has been very moving for me, I have to tell you. It's an absolute honor. You are generous. You're idealistic. It's just been a tremendous honor to speak with you today. And I salute you. Thank you so much for being with us.
I thank you.
All right. We have to get to the truth. We have to get to the truth, as ugly as it is. We have to learn it. Thank you very much for listening and keeping democracy alive yourself. This is Bert Cohen.
I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed. just give me this. No short head, yellow belly, son.